The Idiot by Fyodor Mikhailovich Dostoevsky. Translated by Constance Garnett. Read by Constantine Gregory for Naxos Audiobooks. Part 1. Chapter 1. At 9 o'clock in the morning, towards the end of November, the Warsaw train was approaching Petersburg at full speed. It was thawing, and so damp and foggy that it was difficult to distinguish anything 10 paces from the line to right or left of the carriage windows. Some of the passengers were returning from abroad, but the third-class compartments were most crowded, chiefly with people of humble rank who had come a shorter distance on business. All, of course, were tired and shivering. Their eyes were heavy after the night's journey, and all their faces were pale and yellow to match the fog. In one of the third-class carriages, two passengers had, from early dawn, been sitting facing one another by the window. Both were young men, not very well dressed, and travelling with little luggage. Both were of rather striking appearance, and both showed a desire to enter into conversation. If they had both known what was remarkable in one another at that moment, they would have been surprised at the chance which had so strangely brought them opposite one another in a third-class carriage of the Warsaw train. One of them was a short man, about 27, with almost black, curly hair and small, grey, fiery eyes. He had a broad and flat nose and high cheekbones. His thin lips were continually curved in an insolent, mocking, and even malicious smile. But the high and well-shaped forehead redeemed the ignoble lines of the lower part of the face. What was particularly striking about the young man's face was its death-like pallor, which gave him a look of exhaustion in spite of his sturdy figure, and at the same time an almost painfully passionate expression, out of keeping with his coarse and insolent smile and the hard and conceited look in his eyes. He was warmly dressed in a full, black, sheepskin-lined overcoat, and had not felt the cold at night, while his shivering neighbour had been exposed to the chill and damp of a Russian November night, for which he was evidently unprepared. He had a fairly thick and full cloak with a big hood, such as is often used in winter by travellers abroad in Switzerland or the north of Italy, who are not, of course, proposing such a journey as that from Yitzhunin to Petersburg. But what was quite suitable and satisfactory in Italy turned out not quite sufficient for Russia. The owner of the cloak was a young man, also 26 or 27 years old, above the average in height, with very fair, thick hair, with sunken cheeks and a thin, pointed, almost white beard. His eyes were large, blue and dreamy. There was something gentle, though heavy-looking in their expression, something of that strange look from which some people can recognise at the first glance a victim of epilepsy. Yet the young man's face was pleasing, thin and clean-cut, though colourless, and at this moment blue with cold. He carried a little bundle tied up in an old faded silk handkerchief, apparently containing all his belongings. He wore thick-soled shoes and gaiters, all in the foreign style. His dark-haired neighbour in the sheepskin observed all this, partly from having nothing to do, and at last, with an indelicate smile, in which satisfaction at the misfortunes of others is sometimes so unceremoniously and casually expressed, he asked, "Chilly?" And he twitched his shoulders. "Very," answered his neighbour, with extraordinary readiness, "and to think it's thawing, too. What if it were freezing? I didn't expect it to be so cold at home. I've got out of the way of it."
"From abroad, eh?"
"Yes, from Switzerland."
"Huh, you don't say so."
The dark-haired man whistled and laughed. They fell into talk. The readiness of the fair young man in the Swiss cloak to answer all his companion's inquiries was remarkable. He betrayed no suspicion of the extreme impertinence of some of his misplaced and idle questions. He told him he had been a long while, over 4 years, away from Russia, that he had been sent abroad for his health on account of a strange nervous disease, something of the nature of epilepsy or St. Vitus dance, attacks of twitching and trembling. The dark man smiled several times as he listened, and laughed, especially when, in answer to his inquiry,